the Quietly Successful Summit, and you can register for that. It's free. It's 5 days, free for 24 hours for each presentation. And we've got loads of speakers all speaking on being an introvert and how to be more visible and profitable when you have a personal brand business. You can register on quietlysuccessfulsummit.com.
You're listening to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego Master of Marketing, providing you the building blocks you need to be successful with your marketing. This intro lasts about a minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard it all before. It's nothing new. So what's this podcast all about? We chat to some amazing people to give you practical advice that you can implement right now that will make your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving. Just a quick word about supporting the show. The best way to do this is to leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It helps me get the best guests and helps others find the podcast. All I want to do is help people get the best out of their marketing. If you've got a burning marketing question right now, let's chat it through. All the links you need to contact me are in the show notes, because let's face it, you ain't writing anything down right now. Now let's get on with introducing our guest. This is my first recording since Liverpool Football Club won the English Football League for the first time in 30 years. Congratulations to the team, the club, and more importantly, the fans. You'll never walk alone. Okay, tearing up there. Let normal service resume. Are you visible in the business you work for, or as part of your own personal branding? Have you got major visibility? If not, it might be time to reconsider your strategy for this. And this doesn't mean using fake, aggressive, or exhausting tactics. Our guest this week is Fifi Mason. She helps to inspire introverts to get visible and build a personal brand that aligns with your own personality. Nothing fake, nothing underhand, just emphatically you, with sincerity and style. Fifi believes there is a true power in being yourself in business, as it's the most effective way to build trust, raise your profile, and attract more clients. In this episode, we cover the importance of authenticity, approaches to being authentic, being comfortable with our true self, and also dealing with overwhelm and exhaustion. But first, as I know Fifi's a lover of the good old tea, I need to find out, what's your favourite t-shirt slogan, Fifi?
Okay, so I actually put it on today because I knew you were going to ask this one. And this is, sorry, I can't, I have plans with my dog.
No. I like it.
And that's because my dog is my world. I absolutely love him. I've got a Siberian Husky.
Oh, cool.
And he is beautiful. And he's amazing. And being an introvert, I do spend a lot of time just with him. I'm myself, I'm by myself. So.
Excellent, yeah. I'm of the same ilk. I haven't got a dog, but I'm a massive introvert. Although I heard somebody, it was actually Colin Murray does a podcast from Five Live, and he interviews people like either in their home or at his home, and he says he's an introverted extrovert. And I think what he means by that is that when he's doing something like this, or when he's on a stage, or when he's doing his radio show, then he's very extroverted. But take him away from that, and he's like, "Nah, I'm happy with myself."
Yeah,
and I can relate to that.
That's something that I often come across. Like people will say, "I'm an extroverted introvert," or the other way around. And I think it really comes down to where you naturally sit. And that we can be more gregarious, and we can be, it's not that we're shy. Introverts aren't shy. It's just that we tend to prefer to be by ourselves, and that's where we thrive.
Mm-hmm.
When we're thinking deeply and have time to ourselves, and whereas if we're social, that's where we lose our energy, and and it can be quite stressful sometimes.
That's cool. And I think we'll get into that a little bit later. Because I have friends that are like if they're not doing something, like I'm a busy person, I do a lot of things, but if they're not doing something, if they haven't got plans, then it freaks them out. Whereas I'm like, God, how can you sustain this? I'm knackered just thinking about it. But anyway, we'll get into that, because that's your field of expertise, and looking forward to handing the mic over to you and getting some actionable insights. But first of all, tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us your story that's led to this stage of your career and what you're up to right now.
Yeah, cool. So, I started out basically as a brand and web designer, and I was doing that for maybe about a year, just freelancing, getting work as and when. And I got to this point where I was like, I wanted more purpose. I was attracting clients that weren't really ideal for me. I was just getting to this point where I wasn't pushing myself out there enough. I wasn't being visible in a way that I needed to be to grow my business and actually be really successful with it. Mm. And that was because I was struggling to be myself. And I found that was because I just didn't have a core purpose. I didn't have something pushing me to give me the courage to really put myself out there. And I started doing this personal branding work on myself. And it's really like a journey of self-discovery, I think, personal branding. When you really look at yourself first, you look at what your values are, what you're all about, and then you kind of form your personal brand around who you are.
Mm.
And that's what I did. And that's when I kind of fell in love with the whole personal branding process and learned so much more about myself, figured out who I really wanted to work with. And it turned out to be introverts, helping introverts get visible, all those things that I'd struggled with. And because I took this process and done it, and it was working for me, and it has worked for me, it just made sense for me to go help other people do the same thing. So that's what I end up doing, helping introverts develop their own personal brand.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Love it. Okay. So that's what you're doing now. And what I'd like to talk to you and pick your brains about, if you like, today, and get some actionable tips for everyone that's listening, is around personal branding, but more bringing this authenticity to your marketing and to yourself and how you put yourself out there and things like that. So I suppose the big question, and you almost were leading onto it, I think, when you were talking there, is why is authenticity so important right now?
It's authenticity has become a bit of a buzzword lately. I think people are throwing it out there all the time, but I don't think we really know what it means. It's lost its meaning a little bit because it's just always said, like, you need to be authentic, you need to be yourself. And what does that really even mean? And I've broke this down. I've been learning more about authenticity and studying all the other people that have been researching authenticity. And really, it's about being real, genuine, honest, and truthful. And it's different to transparency. It's because it's about being true to yourself. It's not just being open and honest. It's also being true to who you are as a person. And it's important because that's what helps us build trust. And if you're not being upfront, and if you are being dishonest, people are going to see through that. They're going to see that you're not, there's nothing, like, they're just going to see that you're not being truthful and disingenuous, and it just comes across. You can see that when people are like that. So when you're talking to someone and you're being less above board, and it comes across on social media and your content as well, like, even when you're typing it out, it's not face to face, it can still seem like there's just not enough of you there, like mm-hmm. you're just doing it for the sake of it or things like that. And that's why it and it's important for trust and likability, basically, like to be authentic is going to help people like you and trust you.
I think people underrate how hard that can be for some people to get that personal brand and to understand it and to really be yourself. I mean, if you were just chatting or talking to somebody and you said, who are you, or what do you stand for, or what do you believe in? Oh, that's easy. I know that. I do that. But to be consistent in that and to put yourself on that line, particularly for this day and age where it is all pretty much done via a social platform, or that there is the potential to do that, should I say, for somebody that is introverted or quite insular, it can be a real struggle to get in front of other people. And that isn't even considering the mindset of what do other people think of me. And as soon as you put that in there, then it's almost like, well, I need to be somebody else because that's what people think of me, or that's what people will think of me. So I need to do this instead. That can be so difficult. So how do we get an approach to being authentic, or making sure that we are our own authentic selves?
Well, the first step is to start with knowing yourself, really. It's exploring who you are as a person, what your values are, what you stand for, and knowing your strengths and your weaknesses, knowing the experiences you've been through and the knowledge you've got, knowing it really well so that you are being truthful about everything. Like, you're not just trying to be something someone else wants you to be. You know yourself enough, you know yourself completely, that all you are is being yourself. And I have a quick exercise about to help you find your values.
Oh, brilliant.
And and I do this with my clients. It's just creating three columns. And you've got in the first column, the negative experience, the second column, the negative feeling. And then the third column is like the opposite and the value that comes from that. So maybe we'll see if you can do this.
just before you put me on the spot here, okay. that final column, can you just explain that to me? Because go on.
So we've got negative experience, negative feeling, but the final one is like the opposite of the negative feeling, where you come up with a value, but we would come up with that together.
Okay, right. Brilliant. Let's do this. Okay.
So have you ever had like a negative experience, maybe like going to a shop or going to a restaurant or with a brand that you've used in the past? Can you think of anything like that?
Yeah. So let's go for, perfect. Let's go for, I won't say the mobile company, but let's say a mobile company last month charged me a lot more than I was expecting, and I was fuming about it.
Okay, and how did it make you feel? Like, did you have a conversation with them or anything like that about it?
So, they sent me an email to because it's like a business account. I try not to say the name. it's a business account, so I called them up, got through, and said, why have you charged me so much for this? But I always come from the point of view, when I ever speak to somebody at a call center or whatever, I always make sure that I say, look, it's not, I know it's not your fault, but unfortunately you have me to deal with now, just as a caveat. But yeah, I was fuming because I felt like I'd already put things in place so that didn't specifically happen, and then it happened.
Okay. So it was more of a, maybe like reliability would be the value there, or
I suppose reliability and trust, I think.
Yeah, probably trust as well. So mm-hmm. that's what comes out of it. And then you do that process. So you do that with as many negative experiences you can remember and write them all down.
Okay.
And then you have the values that come out of that in that third column. Mm-hmm. And then you take the ones that show up more often. Say if you had a few others that came out with trust, and that would be quite valuable to you. Mm-hmm. And then you would write a list of all of them, and maybe then start putting them in an order of where you think they sit to your, it's kind of like a feeling. 'Cause I know that for me, my values are authenticity, purpose, passion. Mm-hmm. And they're my three top. And I know that authenticity and then purpose and passion come in that order. Just out of feeling. But the one way you can test it is if you move something above. And I think this is a Tony Robbins thing. Like,
okay.
he says, like, imagine taking something else that's further down and putting it above. Does that change your, does it change your outlook on life?
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, my fifth value is security. So if I was to put security above purpose, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be, because I would be like, security would be more valuable to me. I would want a job where I'm secure in my job and I've got like safety net and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas purpose comes before that, because that's what drives me. So that's how you can kind of figure out where they sit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because like one of my values, and I suppose this goes back to what I preach and sometimes what I teach in workshops, in that a personal brand or a company, all it is a promise. Their brand is a promise. And if they don't adhere to that promise, of which our perception of that brand is pretty much what we see as their promise to us. So it's different for other people, but if they don't adhere to that for us, then you've lost that trust and you've lost that connection with your audience. And that links to trust, what we were just talking about there. So that's quite interesting. That. So I think one of my values massively is trust.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Which is really interesting. So it works. There you go. I love that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So yeah, and I do that with my clients in my personal brand program. So that's kind of a way of figuring out your values, basically. And then there is the second step. So that's the first step, figuring out who you are, your values, and things like that. Is sharing things about yourself and allowing yourself to be a bit vulnerable.
Right.
I've read a lot about this. Brené Brown, have you ever heard of Brené Brown?
Yeah.
Well, she's a researcher, and she's done a lot of studying on authenticity. And if you've ever seen her TED talk on vulnerability and authenticity, that's when she explains her revelation of that. To be truly authentic, you have to allow yourself to be imperfect and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a shock for her to kind of get to grips with that kind of thing.
Okay.
And she explains the whole story in her TED talk. Cool. But and it is hard to do, like, especially in a business aspect. Like, we always have this kind of block that we need to be seen as professional. And you very often get business owners, when they start out, they don't want to show anything about themselves. They put up this kind of faceless brand, and they just block off anything that's kind of human about themselves with the business. And it's just a very transactional kind of thing. And, but to be truly authentic and to get people to trust you, you have to let people in, and you have to share things about you in, not like everything that, like, you don't want to go too far with it.
It needs
to have, it needs to be appropriate, and it needs to be right to your kind of comfort level, and also have a goal or a lesson along with it. So if you're sharing things about yourself, sharing stories about yourself, it's not just to air your dirt and your laundry and like put it out there. It's actually to show people that's why you are who you are a little bit, and other people can learn from that. And I also have a test, and I'll give you the link so you can share this. It's called the vulnerability test, and it's to help you find your comfort level, basically. And it's just a list of loads, like 50 different things where you can rate next to them, and you will rate it against, like, I'm happy to share this, I'm not comfortable sharing this, but if it helps someone, I might do. I'd probably never share this sort of thing, I'm too sensitive to it. Another one is, like, if it suits your brand, because you don't want to share something if it's just not even relevant to your brand. So mm-hmm. you have to figure those out. And this test that I will share with you, you can do all of that with, basically.
Cool. That's brilliant. I just want to move on a little bit. So we're starting to find out about ourselves and our true selves, our strengths and weaknesses, and what we believe in. How do we transition that to being comfortable in becoming visible? Mm-hmm. And this might be online or with groups of people or however your business is constructed, or even just in a business setting, like you were chatting about then. How do we start to become comfortable if we're not used to having that visibility on us?
Yeah, so this starts with baby steps, like taking really small incremental steps. So you could start out, if you've never been really visible on social media, you don't really use it much, if you're at that point, it could just be that you start commenting on things and adding value in that way. And then when you get to that point where you're ready to post something about on social media, it could be just things that you're, again, comfortable with. You're slowly just start to share little things about yourself. I love to sing and play the ukulele, and I can do that on video more than I can talk on video. I'm not great at talking on video.
you should have just sang this whole conversation.
and I wrote a parody song all about being yourself in business, actually. Mm-hmm. And that was more comfortable to me. So it was like, it was getting my message out in a way that I felt comfortable with, and it was also showing a bit of me, like I like to sing, I like to play the ukulele. So it's just little things like that, but you don't have to go to that extreme. But if you're not comfortable on sharing photos of yourself, which some people really struggle with, it could be that you take the focus off you and you have a picture of someone else to start with.
Okay.
Or you hold something that you love, and it could be like a photograph, and you talk about the photograph, but you're in the picture, and it's just the focus isn't on you, it's on that it's on that photograph. And when it comes to sharing more of the stories about yourself, it's really, yeah, just building up to slowly, incrementally, just a little bit at a time, and then see the response and see what people think. And you'll get people that are just like really happy to learn more about you. They're like, oh, I didn't know that this about you, this is really cool. And you will see that it actually does start to work.
I love that. I love the fact that, you know, bring other things into it, bring things that make you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but I always hold a pen. It's a Lego pen as well. How cool is that?
Oh, cool. It's
really uncomfortable to hold, though, to be fair. but I always hold a pen. I just feel more comfortable holding it. And it's even little things like that, that if I didn't, I don't know, I'd probably have my hands up here. And yeah, it just doesn't feel right. So I feel like I have to have something in my hand. Yeah. And I still make notes with it, things like that. But I love the idea of bringing other things and things that not just make you feel comfortable, but a part of you and make mm-hmm. you who you are. I love that idea. Okay, so we're slowly building up this presence, little steps, baby steps. And I also really love that idea as well, because people have this mindset of, I need to be out there, so boom, I need to do what all these people are doing that have been on social and are comfortable with where they're at already. You know, I need to be in that zone, but Like, you know, start small and build up. It's fine. You've got time. It's fine.
Yeah.
But if we don't want to show up, how do we avoid, like, I suppose, putting those blockers so we don't have to, you know, those negative thoughts or when we don't feel that comfortable in showing up, how can we get past that?
Okay, so there's two kind of ways, and I kind of mentioned this before. Knowing your purpose is one of the ways you can kind of get past it, and it works a lot for me. So knowing that I'm going to help someone else, because that's my purpose. I want to be able to help other introverts, help them, and that's pushing me out of my comfort zone. But a lot of things I'm doing because I really do want to help these people. I truly want to help them. And keeping your purpose in mind, your why, and it all comes down to, you've probably heard of Simon Sinek and Find Your Why and all of that. So it's finding that why and knowing it, and knowing the true why for yourself and for your clients. And that's it really does push you further forward more than you ever would, because you're not doing it specifically for yourself. You're not putting yourself in a uncomfortable situation just to get some money or anything like that. You need to know the core why to why you're doing it. And then the second way is reframing techniques. So if you've written something out and you're like, oh, I just can't do it, I just can't. What will people think about? What will they say? What? And you've got these like questions running through your head as kind of holding you back. You can use reframing techniques to kind of pull you out of that thought process. Okay. And one of my favorite, and I can't remember who came up with this. I wish I could, but I just don't remember it. But it's really simple and brilliant. And it's three questions. So when you're ready to press publish and you just can't seem to do it, you ask yourself these three questions. The first one is, what is the worst thing that will happen? The second one, what is the best thing that will happen? And the third one, what is the most likely thing to happen? It's so simple, and it really does work. So the worst thing, generally, you might get someone say something a bit rude. It's very rare that's ever going to happen, but there's a possibility. Again, if you thought about the worst thing, you might not get a sale, or you might not get a customer or something like that.
Okay.
The best thing is that you could get a customer. You might get a client, someone who wants to work with you, just from that one post. And then the most likely is you will get a couple of comments, maybe a couple of likes, and that's great. Like, there's nothing really negative there. There's nothing like, you might not get that client, but that's okay, because it's still doing what it needs to do. And so just breaking it down into those three things really will just be like, well, what is the worst that's going to happen? What's the best? What is most likely? And then you just press publish, because you already have those expectations.
And I think getting that out of your head and getting it on paper, or even just saying it out loud, puts more reality to the actual situation. Whereas if you are in that situation where you can't press that publish button, or you can't record yourself, or whatever it might be you're struggling with, then it builds up in your head and it becomes a psychological barrier massively. Whereas if it's on paper or spoken word, then it starts to, you can contextualize it more, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've started to build a presence, and we're pretty comfortable with where we're going. But what we've been speaking about, for some people, particularly when they're starting, can be quite intensive. And that, I suppose, leads to a bit of overwhelm sometimes, and potentially exhaustion. If you think about, if people aren't used to putting themselves out there, you know, it can play havoc with you mentally and physically. But we also know that consistency is key in these manners. So how do we reduce this overwhelm and potential exhaustion to maintain our consistent flow of a personal brand and that online presence?
Yeah, so it comes back to the baby steps, but also, and I find this as an introvert, even being social on social media is quite draining. So I block out time, and I spend most of my social media time first thing in the morning, which probably most people will say, don't do that, that's wrong. But it works for me, and it's what works for you, basically. Mm-hmm. So I will, the first hour of the day, I will get into LinkedIn. That's where I spend most of my time, and I focus on one thing just to keep it less overwhelming. And I'll be on there for maybe an hour, and then I'll put a post up, and then I go and walk my dog. So I've had my social time, but then I have a time with my dog to chill out and relax before I start my day, basically. And that's what works for me. And I always block that time and make sure it's done. And then throughout the day, I might pop on to answer comments and things like that. But it's like, that's the bulk of the time that I spend on social media to keep me energized. And then another thing is to switch off. On the weekends, I completely avoid social media as much as possible so that I have time to just be by myself and do other things, basically.
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with that. They feel like they have to be online all the time. I know I certainly suffer from that sometimes, that you feel you have to be on all platforms all the time, every single day, every single hour, just in case you miss that one comment, that one like, one share, whatever it might be. And the fact of the matter is, if you take a step back and create that consistency over a longer period of time, mm-hmm. rather than thinking short term, then that has a much bigger impact than if you're going to spend four hours yeah. on a social platform, get exhausted, and then not be on there for 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That massively helps.
Yeah, just being consistent, like taking half an hour every day, and it being doing the bulk of it then, and just allowing yourself the rest of the time to just chill with it, basically.
Yeah, I try to use I can't remember, I want to say Pareto effect, but it isn't, that's 80-20, isn't it? I can't remember what it's called, but it's the 25 minutes on, 5 minutes rest.
Pomodoro,
and there you go. I knew it was a P. Brilliant, thank you. I knew I've invited you here for a reason. Yeah, Pomodoro, and I just find that really works for me. Knowing that I'll have 5 minutes to either grab a brew, just chill out, have a chat, whatever it might be, and then I have 20-25 minutes of right, let's get this done, yeah. and that kind of works for me during the day.
Yeah.
So it's whatever works for you as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Right, okay, Fifi, are you ready for some quick fire questions?
Let's go for it, yeah.
Brilliant, right. What's that source of info you cannot live without?
Google.
yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's a mainstream now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what's the last thing you remember Googling?
The last thing... I actually recently Googled the word Google, like to see if the word Googled was an actual word now.
Okay.
I can't remember how it goes, but it was the word Googled. Was it an actual word?
yeah, you've just blown a lot of people's minds there.
Like, I know.
What's happened here?
It's like Inception.
Absolutely, yeah. So Googling, am I Google. Am I, have I Googled, but have I'm on Google? Google? But
Google?
Am I really? Google. Love it. If you could tell your 10-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
To believe in myself. Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. Love it. What's the most important thing to know in marketing right now?
I'm probably going to be quite biased and it be like to be yourself and and to develop a personal brand, basically.
Brilliant. Love it. And final, most important thing, if people want to find you, where should they go?
Okay, so I spend most of my time on LinkedIn. So you'll find me on there. Search Fifi Mason or The Fifi Mason. And my website is fifimason.com. And I'm also organising a virtual summit, which has just launched as this goes live. And that is called the Quietly Successful Summit. And you actually helped name that, which is on LinkedIn when I posted about it a while ago.
Yeah.
You helped me name my newsletter,
yep.
The Quietly Successful. And now I've just gone with it and I'm using it for a summit. So it's the Quietly Successful Summit, and you can register for that. It's free. It's 5 days, free for 24 hours for each presentation. And we've got loads of speakers all speaking on being an introvert and how to be more visible and profitable when you have a personal brand business. And you can register on quietlysuccessfulsummit.com.
Fantastic. Fifi Mason, thank you so much for joining me today. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fifi Mason, thank you so, so much once again for joining us. Absolute pleasure. And for everybody that's still listening, make sure you sign up for the Quietly Successful Summit. It's free, so why wouldn't you do that? There'll be so much value. Look forward to seeing you there. Okay, that's enough of the promo bit. Let's get back to the episode and what I took away from the episode. So the first thing is my top tip. When it comes to personal branding, spend the time getting to know you. The more time you spend on this and working out the type of person you are, what you stand for, what you believe in, your truths, the stronger your personal brand will be and the more authentic you will be too. Not only to yourself, but also to your audience. And that goes for any type of business as well. That authenticity, which is difficult to quantify nowadays. But it's important to know your truisms or a company's truisms. My favourite quote from this episode is, it's finding that why and knowing it and knowing the true why for yourself and for your clients. This is powerful. Spend some time figuring out what gets you out of bed in the morning and gets you motivated and keeps you focused. This is probably where all your efforts should be to give you that energy to keep on going. And finally, the most important takeaway from this episode. When faced with an issue, problem, or simply overwhelm, try to reframe the scenario and ask these three questions. What's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen? And what's the most likely to happen? And you'll probably find that that thing isn't as bad as it seems. It will probably be the happy medium that will actually happen. It's never as bad as you think it will be. In fact, it could be even better than you were imagining. Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.